referee is reaching into their pocket. What is that card gonna be? It's a red card, and that can mean only one thing. It is time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. I am your host, Eric Paisley. With me tonight is...
John Brennig.
Fat dog for playoffs. Six seasons in a movie. You all know what it's all about. How you doing tonight, John?
Good. It's only four seasons of existence, Eric. You got to slow your roll a little bit, okay? Okay.
So we faced off against the Red Bulls in the final regular season match of the season, and it was a barn burner. John, we're going to talk about the match, hardest working, most valuable. You know the drill, folks. We'll tell you. We've got some uncomfortable questions to ask in our next segment, along with key stats. I'm anxious to hear what John dug up on this match. And we'll tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. All right, John. We're going to be talking about some playoffs, too, but... first of all, we need to kick it off with a gut check. John, what was your gut reaction to this barn burner of a match?
Man, well, two gut reactions. One, that first half had so many dives and flops and people on the ground by everyone. I was just like, when they added 8 minutes, I was like, it's only eight? Are you sure it's not another 15?
Yeah, it was worse off the ball, too. You didn't even see half of it off the ball.
Well, yeah, like I know they one time zoomed back and they re-showed Sam and I think it was Reyes, you know, have a little inner tanglement and stuff. I'm just, the second half was actually better than that, which was odd, but whatever. So that was one reaction to just the match atmosphere. Overall, we looked good at times. We had some nice spells of possession. We had some nice attacking thing. You know what I mean? Like there were some good interconnect. There were some decent corner kicks. There were some decent opportunities. It just nothing, you know, just nothing went on frame. You know what I mean? So in that way, there was flashes of promise, but it was disappointing because it didn't amount to anything. You know what I mean? Nothing went in the net. So, and it wasn't even a went in and got called back or was an offside. Like we literally never got anything in between the posts. So, you know, a little bit of a disappointment on that front.
The match itself was a rather typical affair where I kind of looked up at some point when I noticed we had collapsed back into a 4-4-2. It was 23 minutes, 50 seconds on the dot. It was like we pressed with three up top, you know, really brightly. And then, you know, especially when Leal went down too. And I got to tell you, that was a gut-wrenching situation. After
we'll have to talk about that in the second segment.
Yeah, we will talk about that. After that happened, and seeing how upset he was, I don't know if it showed up on camera, seeing how very upset he was, it took the fans out of the game. Everyone was a little, the vibe, as they kids say, the vibe changed, and it really went downhill after that. I left, I'll be honest, I left after minute 70. As soon as Sam was subbed off, I left because I don't know. I had made plans to watch the Clemson game with my wife, so I was like, I'll just go home and watch that, which was unfortunate. Another
sometimes keeping the peace at home is worth.
Well,
it
no, year. It was even that was not as exciting too. So it was not a good sporting night for me on Saturday night. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I'll talk about this. Maybe I'll save it for my get my pitch, but. Tempo Taco, they look to be officially gone now. So the things have been taped over on the on the price sheet. So I don't know. Sad. We shall see. We shall see. I'm going to be stopping in to see Javier soon. So we'll check it out. All right, John, hardest working player in this match. I know you've got some opinions.
I mean there were. There was we had some decent play in the back line. Like that's the thing is it was a disappointing loss also because I feel like we played pretty solid defense. You know what I mean? We it was a little more classic Nashville. But honestly, I think the player that stood out and also got called out probably the most on the broadcast was Sean Davis. He had some key interceptions. He had some key plays, and whether it was, you know, they mentioned him a little more on the broadcast just because of the whole Red Bulls tie. You know, I mean, he was captain there for years and stuff. But he seemed like he was flying all over. He played the full 90. He was out there trying to exert his influence in the midfield. And I mean, I think we've seen that Godoy and Dax are our real primary 1-2 punch. But I thought Sean did a great job this game and was very effective in preventing some of those chances and being, again, that key guy to kind of let Godoy create a little more, flow a little more, push forward. And he took care of a lot of those duties. So I think he was the hardest working.
Yeah, I was going to give it to Walker. I'm glad you called out the back line. Yeah, I'm glad you called out the back line. They, throughout the entire match, really kept us going and kept positive. Mm-hmm. I feel like their play was also very positive between Jack and Walker. I could have easily given it to both. But I think Jack's game slipped a little bit as the game wore on. He was caught out a little too much, but recovered. But to Jack's credit, he digs in and he recovers. If he gets caught out or gets crossways, he always gets back to the ball as quickly as possible and usually makes up for whatever mistake he has made. Walker was just on fire. He was just header after header. He was winning aerial duel after aerial duel. Although I saw a stat, and maybe I don't want to steal your thunder, I saw a stat that Sam for the first time had more aerial duels won than Walker did in this match. Double fact check me on that, but I saw that in the stat sheet after the match. All right, let's talk about MVP. Who was the most valuable player for you?
Ooh. I'm going to give it to Hani, who, again, didn't show up on the score sheet, as we are all quite aware. But he looked like he was doing MVP things. He had a great shot that, their goalie got the slightest of fingertips on and, possibly is responsible for redirecting that. He had some clean assist play, hooking up with other people, springing him forward. It looked a lot like you could see pieces in a vintage Hani game. Again, it just never ended with anything in the net, or there was always a little bit of a misconnection of, like that one pass Sam tried to put that might have been to Hani and overkicked, or might have actually intended to go to Alex when he crossed it, but was still overkicked. That, you know what I mean? Like, there was just little pieces of it. It just, like we said, it didn't go, but we looked good in the first part. I mean, we were creating chances. Like you said, the first 20 minutes were positive, and almost all of it involved and was worked through or around Hani, which is what we expect. But I mean, he seemed like he had a great game for that. And then again, like you said, kind of as the wind came out of the sails in the game in general, he was still cranking along. It's just, the opportunities became a little bit more rare because everyone else was kind of less effective. So I think he put forward an MVP worthy effort.
I'm going to give it to Joe. I know that on the score sheet, it doesn't, obviously we lost on a PK and Joe's, but that really does not tell the story of how well Joe played in the match. He was really on point with his, with the back passes. That's always been an area where I've always felt kind of shaky with Joe, where he gets, especially with he and Jack, but they seem to be a much better synchronization on that, to where, Red Bulls press and they would press up and try to catch either Jack out or Joe out with that cross or that back pass. And I thought they were really on point and he was really selling the ball down the field. I thought that he had four key saves in the match, really kept the game from getting out of hand, because it could have gotten, especially after Liao went down, it could have gotten out of hand. The mood was definitely more, there was a lot more sniping between players. It was, things were not great, but he in the back line, they kept us in the game. And I'm going to give it to Joe.
I like a key thing you brought up there is the stability. I do feel like there is just something about having him back there that feels, as a fan, I don't know that it actually affects the back line or any of our defenders, But there is just something that, it feels reliable about knowing he's back there. When we had Panico for some of those League's Cup game, it was like, okay, we know he can serve he can stop PKs, but, how's he going to do on these shots? You know what I mean?
He would be shaky.
Just a little bit of doubt in there.
He would be very shaky with the ball in possession. He would be very kind of didn't know what to do.
And sometimes he did, which some goalies do and get away with it more, I'm going to do a little one tap pass to myself and then kick it and let the defender get even closer and make everyone sweat a little. Elliot does that sometimes. And I honestly hate it. But I just like that you pointed that out, because I do agree that Joe is a nice, that is the thing about him. He's always that stabilizing presence there, because, as we know, we have two good goalies, and I don't know that both of them are going to stay with the team off the season. So that'll probably be something we talk about when the season finally ends, is where we're going to go with that.
Yeah, I don't want to let go of either one of them. I wish we could keep both, but we can't. That's just not feasible. And
I
wish the best for both of them, you know.
Yeah.
When we do our final podcast of the year, we will have to finally sort of say who we want to keep, and that's going to be a tough call. Yeah. So you want to stay tuned for that. All right, we're going to wrap it up. But before we do, we don't have a best goal, but I tell you, it was nice having Tony back on the broadcast, even though...
When I turned the recording, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's our friend.
It was nice having him back on the broadcast because he made a rather up and down match, let's just say herky-jerky match seem... When I listened back to the broadcast... It seemed a lot better than it was live. I can tell you that. So
one of those you're like, you know, I almost would have rather watched that. You just listen to him on the radio.
It's tough to say. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to ask some uncomfortable questions. John is going to share some key stats, and we're going to tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. Stay with us. We are back. Rest in peace, Tempo Taco. So maybe we should have done a better job in the ad reads. Maybe I should have done a better job. I feel like I'm partly responsible for maybe them not being there. But again, I don't know for sure. They just had all the signs typed up. So we will see. And the sign was down. The Tempo Taco sign was down off the top. So all right. Okay. All right, John. Uncomfortable question time. I will go first. Another year limping into the playoffs. We're going to be pretty much one and done here. We're just going to kind of bow out.
If it wasn't against Orlando, I might think that. I feel decent about the Orlando thing. A couple stats. Do you know that, interestingly enough, both of us are worse home teams statistically than the road? They're actually the best team on the road in getting points this year and one of the worst at home. We are also, because of the recent form, one of the worst teams, especially in the second half this year, of getting points at home and have been better on the road. So in some ways, if you looked at the numbers, they might say that this might go 1-1 where we win the first game, they win the second game. So I don't know. I'm just saying both of us have had issues with home form. So I don't think it's a guaranteed, they get to host two games. That's an advantage, because it seems like it hasn't been for them all year. However, they are in very good run of form and we are not. But I mean, that's what we said going into the League's Cup. What I mean? And I also feel like, even though we lost the most recent match, but again, we beat them on the road, they beat us here. So again, leading to that same narrative of losing at home. Even though they beat us this last time, I still feel like we had chances. I feel like they're a team that we can match up well against and generate offense, because they don't hunker down. They're not Philly. They're not going to sit back and invite us to bring pressure and try to unlock them when they've got two solid lines and they're eight deep on their half and, you know, we're just passing the ball around ineffectively. There's going to be openings. They like to push forward. They like to push some numbers forward. So there's going to be stuff at the back, which, again, it just is a style that we can and have the ability to exploit. So I think we can win something. Honestly, I would be shocked if we don't win one game. I'd be utterly shocked if we don't win at least one of the games, but I think we can win the series. I just, in my very selfish way, just hope that we don't go to PKs, because that's stressful. You know what I mean? I'd rather decide all these in 90 minutes and call it good, but that's just more of a, you know, hope for that. So I think we can do it. I really think that if we do that, I don't know that we get much past that round, because after that, unless we get to the Eastern Championship game, we're on the road every game. The only way that we do that is if, you know, the 8 or 9 seed beats Cincy and, you know, won all the way up, because they're the only people we have home field advantage over. So the thing is, we've got our guaranteed one playoff game, and honestly, that's probably all we're going to see at home this year, because we would have to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals against a lower seeded team, not likely, or to the MLS Cup Finals, because there's about 4 Western Conference teams that we could host. So I guess the message in there is we should savor the home game that we've got.
All right, we'll talk about when that is in the next segment. But
what do you think? How do you feel about playing Orlando?
No, I don't have any. I think Orlando has solidified their form and their identity. I feel like, unlike us, they are going into this playoff phase a little more, and as they say across the pond, in good heart. I feel like they have more confidence than we do. I got the sense that especially watching some of the body language of the players last, you know, on Saturday night, I got the sense that there was just a bit of resignation. And maybe I'm reading, Maybe I'm reading way too much into stuff. But it seems like when things don't go our way, we tend to respond poorly. Now, we have seen where that has not been the case, right? We have seen where that's not been the case, but it seemed like losing a heart player like Leal affected the team in some way. And so I'm thinking that not having him on the pitch for whatever reason, I don't know the situation, maybe you'll fill us in on the injury front. I think that really hurts us in the playoffs. So yeah, I'm going to savor this playoff game to say that. Yeah.
No, and I do agree because, I mean, the odds say that we probably aren't going to get one, even if we did make it to the end. So yeah. We're probably going to be playing higher seeded teams. So my question for you, you mentioned it again this time, you know, with Leal's injury, which technically was the 32nd minute was when Fafa came on. So it was a little before. It was like 27, 28. It kind of, you know, took the wind out of our sails. We had this discussion, I think was it the Seattle match a couple weeks ago? Same thing, like after the first 20 minutes of Bright, it kind of faded. And I feel like we've seen that a little bit. We come out hot and then we fade. Is that a personal issue? Is that like a game plan? Have we come up to press in that? Is it just the way of the flow? Like, and if so, is there something you think we can do to, you know, kind of like remedy that or to boost it or to do something? You know what I mean?
I think it's definitely game planned. That's why I'm hesitant to bring it up anymore because I'm not someone who's all about the coaching and about complaining about coaching. I've never saw the point in that. And I'm also very skeptical of coaching, how much coaching affects a team. I'm just in any sport, I'm just very skeptical of it. So, but it seems like that if we hit one off the post or if we have a couple that just seem to not go our way, a call that doesn't go our way or a really bad foul, an injury. It seems like we do kind of circle the wagons. Maybe it's just something instinctual, but seems planned because the shape of the team definitely changed at some point. Like it was definitely Leal with up there with the front two and then all of a sudden not, right? Then all of a sudden it was a 4-4-2. So, you know, for the folks at home, that's when we sort of collapse back into more of a traditional shape where we have four midfielders instead of just, you know, sort of Davis and Godoy in the middle. I think so. I think it's coached.
I wonder, because you mentioned mentality, like I wonder if it's frustration that the players hit or if it's, I know, because this is what we experience as a fan is, you know, sometimes you get to the 20th minute and you're like, this is one of those games, you know what I mean? And you know, you're like, I'm going to put my phone out. My phone's going to be my companion this game. You know what I mean? It happens. I wonder if it's a little bit of that, you know what I mean? Like you said, if something happens close, it kind of shocks you back into the game of like, okay, we're pressing. We have a real chance here. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to say our players are bored. I'm not trying to say that but it does feel like that. It does feel like there's something about those first minutes. If we generate chances, we can keep pressing. We kind of keep the energy high. But if we get to that point where it's drained, it seems like we get into a lull that lasts somewhere into the second half. And it's kind of, you know, which if this was a road game in the middle of the season, you know, on Wednesday night, we were playing kind of like a sub lineup where Gary's like, hey, let's float it for 60 minutes and see if we can steal it at the end road point situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be different.
I get that. You know what I mean? It'd be like, yes, we started Hockenson and Wyke and, Taylor. And we're out here. We're just trying to steal a point and maybe sneak something at the end. Like, I get that. It's weird that it feels like we do that with our starting lineup where they lose the flow, whatever it is, where it just kind of hits that 20, 25 minute and it's just kind of like, you know, you feel it stop clicking.
Yeah, there were definitely moments in the match where a ball would go sailing out of bounds, a pass across a switch, and there would be some words exchanged between our own players. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It seems to tell something. There's a story there. Yeah. I don't know what it is exactly, but I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. I don't know that way. Like when I think back, like, I mean, there are times people make mistakes and, you know, Dax is going to chew you out for it. You know what I mean? You make a stupid card, you know.
Dax, like Bill Burr, he comes in at a six. He comes in again, that level, right?
Yeah. You know, that happens. You do something stupid. But it does feel like this year there is more not animosity, but more animated conversations between players mid game, mm-hmm. even when things aren't necessarily going bad, or there isn't like an obvious, like, you need to cool your jets, Leal, because you're about, you know, or like Godoy, like, hey, hold on, you're about to get a, you know, your eighth foul and you're going to get a card. Let's chill. You know, there just seems to be chippiness. Like, I agree. There's something off. Mm-hmm.
All right, John, hit us with some key stats.
Well, since you brought it up, so I'm checking FootMob, which may differ. According to this, Walker and Sam were both exactly 6-for-10, winning 60% of their aerial duels. So they each won six. Technically, Zimmerman won two ground duels and Sam won three. So I'm overall, he won more, but I don't know. But yeah, you're right. And I did. I remember seeing him go up for some headers. Like,
he's doing better.
I saw Sam. I'm like, hey, he's doing the things that Teal does. So he's getting a little more.
He's doing better.
You know, wide range of skills there. So that was nice. Interesting, but 57% of the possession, 326 passes to 231. We did the possession thing, and lo and behold, we didn't win. Now, granted, if it weren't for a small foul, we probably would have gone into this with a tie, and it would have been like, oh, hey, we outpossessed and tied, because realistically, this should have ended in a tie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, we did the possession thing, but only generated 0.5 goals. However, I will say this, the important thing, we had four shots on target. We had nine total shots. It's not a lot, but it was better than the games prior to New England coming in at Philadelphia and Orlando, where we didn't get shots on goal. So look, it wasn't as good as New England, but it was not as bad as the previous games. Again, for full disclosure, New York Red Bulls expected goals was 1.2. We were at almost 0.6. Now, you know, a penalty is like 0.8 or 0.9, right? So you take theirs away and they have less expected goals than us. So it was a pretty even, probably should have ended 0-0 game, which, again, we didn't have much to play for. So if that had been the result, I wouldn't have been nearly as disappointed. You know what I mean? It would have been like, what a bummer to weigh the end of the year. But ending on the loss was,
it's a
cherry on top of a poor Sunday.
it was sort of typical of this entire season. We were losing at the very end. Yeah. All right, John, let's get down to business. Who or what needs to get off our pitch?
Am I going first? Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Eric, we have playoff games to go to.
We do.
Now.
We have a playoff game, yes.
Well, we have a playoff game to go to and at least two playoff games that we will watch, possibly a third, maybe more later. Do you know when those playoff games are, Eric?
They're like a Tuesday night at like 9 o'clock at night or something like that.
Yes. In fact, Eric, one of them is next Monday, the night before Halloween. Thank goodness it's not Halloween. I'll give them that. At 6 p.m., because it's hosted Eastern time. Then the next Tuesday, we play at 8 p.m. local time, because screw your children, they're not coming to this game. And then if we do play again, we play on a Sunday at 4 p.m., because also screw football fans. What is this schedule? Now, granted, some of the other teams aren't quite as bad. Some of them have some better days, but I've also seen a bevy of St. Louis fans who are complaining because, remember, they're a Western Conference team. However, they and Dallas and, well, I guess all the Texas teams, you know, are on Central Time. Mm-hmm. They have a game that kicks their first game, their home game they host, kicks off at 9 p.m., Eric.
Yeah, I saw that.
Local time. That's brutal. Well,
remember, we had a Vancouver game when we were in the West. We had a Vancouver game. It was like a 9:30 kickoff.
But that was away, and so that's fine because it starts at the local time. This is in there. Anyway, so first of all, I'm still mad that we have this three-round thing because it's stupid. I don't like the three-round format. There's no reason for it. At best, adopt the well-tread tradition of a home-and-home series where away goals don't account for more because that's just an arbitrary thing, you know what I mean, where it's just aggregate goals. I would have been okay with that. The three-game thing, it just feels like MLS is trying to shoehorn American tradition of 3- and 5- and 7-game series. That's what we do in baseball. That's what we do in hockey and basketball. Dumb. Screw it. No. So MLS gets a double red card. One for the fact that we have these three-game series.
You are back-to-back for double reds.
Yes, I know. I'm coming in hot, Eric. I clearly need some chill in my life. One for the playoff format for the first round. It's stupid. I don't like it. And also, we don't even need the wild card either. It's stupid. I hate the wild card idea. And another one just at least for Nashville in particular. Some of them are better, some are worse. The horrible scheduling. Like, get off Monday and Tuesday games, put them all in the same window. And then we got a Sunday game competing with, you know, primetime football. Like, I don't know if the Titans play at 4 that you know, at 3 p.m. that day. But if they do, good freaking luck getting everyone in that, anyone in that stadium.
Yeah.
So get off my pitch.
John, I would, yeah, we, the one thing we have avoided in the last 2 years of broadcasting is we've never given each other a card. Although I might break this tradition.
Well, I think you gave one to yourself.
I know, but we've never given one to the other host. Yeah. Like I've never given you a card.
Right. So that this might seems like end going today. Somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said, might. I said, it's like, you know, when the referee like calls someone over, so I'm calling you over. I'm calling you like, you're trying to walk away. You're trying to walk away from me back to a goal. I'm like blowing the whistle and telling you to come back. So you brought up a stat last week because you're a math guy, right? And math never lies. You said we typically win when we're up 2 goals. Well,
oh yes, that if we were up 2 goals, we were 13-0-0.
70 minutes in the match, there was no goals to be had, and I'm like, you know what? I ain't sitting around for this. So I blame you for my early exit. But that's not my get-up.
Okay.
You know what? I'm just doing the warning. I'm doing that one finger warning thing. Like you're like the. You're like giving me the okay, okay.
No, I get you. I'll behave. Dave, I'll listen.
The Alex Mule, I'm showing my man boob. Okay. The the get off my pitch actually goes to John Tolkien for not spelling his name right, just like it should be, and for not settling on a haircut, because I'm like trying to pick him out of the Red Bulls who I don't know. I don't even know a quarter of that team.
All I know is they have the Nihilist brothers because we used to have one. Yeah. And they have Vulcan and that's it. They just have a bunch of people that rotate in and out. I've never paid attention.
Yeah. The New Jersey Red Bulls can get off my pitch. Come on, Tolkien. Find a better team, man. you're one of my favorite players in the league. Go find another team, man. The New Jersey Red or the New Jersey or whatever, the South Delaware Red Bulls can all get off my pitch. I don't like them. I never have. Well, you know, and again, maybe this is a DC United hangover. I do not like them. I don't like the Red Bulls. And that is my get off my pitch for the final one for the regular season. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking playoffs. We'll give you some score predictions, and you want to stay with us. We are back. All right, John, let's break down all three games. We already talked about it in the last segment. Okay. So let's for the folks that listen at home, we do have some listeners. I actually had got some feedback from a listener yesterday. We do have some listeners who do tune into this segment to find out when we do, you know, when are we going to play and what kind of setups we have. So if they wanted to tweet us and ask us a question, though, about the upcoming matches, how would they do that?
Well, you could go to Twitter, which we, again, still will never call x.com.
Yep.
And you could look up at @GOMP_pod and you could reach out to us and let us know what you think or give us feedback or ask questions. And you can also go to YouTube and find us at
Get Off My Pitch. We also broadcast live typically Sunday nights, although we are, because John's travel, we were a little bit late this week, but it's no problem. You can catch us out on the X Twitter or whatever. We also broadcast live there simultaneously. Technology, because that's what John and I do for a living. All right, John, the three matches, break them down for us. When's our first one?
Yes. So the first one is a week from today, since this is Monday that we're recording. Monday, October 30th, again, the day before Halloween. Pretty easy to memorize. You probably don't have a lot of Halloween parties. They'll be this Friday, I hope. 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So a little bit earlier. It's almost the standard kickoff time for, actually it is the standard kickoff time for weekend Eastern time zone games. Then we play a week and a day later on November 7th. So a Tuesday, we play at 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern. So again, a later kickoff, not sure why it's 2 hours later and not 1 hour later. I don't know. I can't tell you that. Those are the two games that we are guaranteed because you have to win two games to go to the series. The optional game, the if necessary, would be the Sunday after that. So it would only be a 5-day turnaround time from Tuesday. It'd be Sunday, November 12th at 4 p.m. our time, 5 p.m. Eastern. Like I said, an afternoon matinee style. I mean, that's even earlier than the decision day game.
And that would be at both of those. That would be
that, both of those. Yeah. So First and third game were at Orlando. The second one, the seventh, is the one we're hosting here in Nashville at Geodis Park on Tuesday night. Again, that is our guaranteed playoff game because you have to play lower seeds to host, and there's really no one lower than seventh in the Eastern Conference at this point.
All right, John. Okay, we'll just do a score prediction for just the first match. What do you think the score is going to be?
So, despite what all I spouted about the trend that both of us lose at home, I think that the first two games are going to go home and home personally. So I think Orlando's going to win the first game, which is going to frustrate us. But I think it's going to be 2-1. I think we get a goal. I think they get a goal and they get the impetus. They claw back and somewhere in the 75th to 85th minute, they score a game winner and it's kind of a little bit demoralizing, but you know, a hopefully well-earned non-penalty, non-questionable goal. But I think they pull a late winner because they want to, you know, throw it forward. They've got the, you know, fans at home. So that's what I think is going to happen.
I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout. I think it's going to be pedal to the floor. I'm going to do in 3-2 Nashville. I think it's going to be a chippy affair. I think Orlando has attitude. They, you know, again, they have a big attitude. So I say they come out trying to prove a little something. I have heard one Orlando fan call us like, you know, cut rate Atlanta. You know, there's been some nasty talk from Orlando. They are kind of, they got a little attitude and they, you know, they should. They've consistently been a fairly good team. So, and I don't hate them as much as Atlanta. I really do despise Atlanta, but I don't hate Orlando as much as I do hate Atlanta. So I'm going 3-2. I think it gets a little chippy.
So on that chippy note, I agree. And Orlando tends to like to foul and like to flop. Mm-hmm. Do you see a red card in this series?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I love the confidence. I do, too. And here's the thing. It's interesting because, again, we're playing a three-game series. So you get it in the first or second game. Not only do you lose that, you're going to be suspended for the next one. So, I mean, it could be, you know, you could have someone make a key mistake to hurt your team's chances in you know, the next game if you get that red card. But I agree with you. I think there will be one. It might be a stupid late minute, you know, near the end of the game, but I think there will be at least one this series. And I think both games will probably have 2 to 3 cards minimum.
I think Alex gets one at some point. His play has been a little loosey goosey. I think it's either going to be Alex. I could see Dax. I could see Dex wanting to go out on his shield. You know what I mean? Because
here's
a
one more
question. Game for him.
And this might have been a little bit better in the second set, but a question. I haven't seen any updates on Randall. Do you think? I mean, 2 weeks is a long time before that home game, so he could heal up for that. Do you think we see him in this series again?
I couldn't tell
because I will say when I rewound it, when I watched it at home, before he goes down, he reached and waved to the sideline, like put his hand up and waved, and then the camera cut away, and then. And then he went down and squatted down and, you know, did his kind of like, I have to go now, but he waved for it earlier. So I still couldn't pinpoint what happened or where the injury was.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I'm just throwing that out there, but I haven't seen any updates.
He looked a little bit despondent when I saw him on the ground. So your audio's cut out, bud. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going to be.
I don't know, man. I hope it's small, but I mean, it could have been, you know, like he didn't come up, like I didn't see a big limp. So, you know what I mean? It wasn't like a hamstring where you kind of limp and stuff. He seemed like he hit some sort of wall or something. So I don't know. We'll see.
All right, John. Okay. Just let's see. So the question I had, the final playoff question I had is, do we get swept? I think you said no. You said there's at least going to be one. I agree. I don't think we get swept.
Honestly, I think this is probably going to go to 3 games. I think both teams are good and have a playoff experience. They are in a much better run of form, but we know how to defend. I think we can steal one of the games and it goes to 3, and you know, we'll have to see what happens there.
Do you think we see Lucas McNaughton at some point?
Yes.
First game or second?
Second game.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. As much as Walker says he's back, I feel like he gets a knock, and I'm putting that in air quotes, you know what I mean? Because Gary's I'm not trying to downplay his injury and he might be dealing with something. I'm downplaying that Gary gives us ambiguous information, so I don't know what's actually wrong. Yeah. But I feel like he's been up and down and not full fit, and then he is and then he isn't. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Lucas Jack pairing at the end of a game to preserve Walker, especially if we're up in a game. Mm-hmm. I can see doing some of that to preserve Walker, you know, Sam and Hani or something if we're doing that. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him because I do think that he is the third choice center back.
Yeah, I think we saw that before where we went up 3-1 and then Bauer comes on and then lets in a goal. But, you know, yeah, it's, I'm not too worried about it. Do you have any notes from last week, what we got wrong? Anything we got wrong from last
week? No, we're beautiful and perfect all the time.
I think so.
Other than my stat clearly depressing you, I apologize for that.
It wasn't depressing. It was just a fact. It was just facts.
No, but and you're right. And I didn't even think about that. But I'm like, yeah, you're right. We haven't. So this is going to end in a tie or a loss. I mean, that was.
It was just. Yeah. I was just. I did the math, John. Sat there and I did the math, and I was like,
frustrated that we are that predictable as a team.
No tempo taco. Last call, and the no score. I mean, those three things alone combined to send me to Chick-fil-A. So anyway. We're going to call it there. Okay. We're going to call it there. We do appreciate you for watching along with us at home. I know we do at least have a couple watchers this night. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you across the ocean for listening to our podcast. Mm-hmm. And thank you, John. I do enjoy it. I'm glad you're back. And I look forward to talking some playoffs.
Sounds good. And I will say the note, since the game is next Monday and the next one is Tuesday, we'll tweet out and we'll figure out when we record. Maybe it's the day after, so we do a Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, we might.
It might get a little weird.
We might do like we did during Leagues Cup, where we do it after the
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Just like the Leagues Cup, which we didn't intend to record nearly that many podcasts, but we just kept playing games that, we'll probably just try to follow on the games and the schedule just get a little wacky. But I think all the podcasts are going to be like that because that's just what it is. We got to follow the game. That's the story, right?
All right. Yep, we will. And thank you for watching. We will tweet out when we're going. So stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter and keep us in the zone here, John. So I do appreciate it.
We'll talk to you next week.